When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's a Mesero Monday. We do it every week here on Your Money Matters, and we'll jump right into it. Greg Lunsford, who is a managing director, wealth advisor of Mesero. Greg, good to chat with you, my friend.
Good evening. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it's when you try and figure out this economy, I feel like it's something that changes every single day. We feel one way about it, and then the winds blow a little bit. We get another report, and boy, we aren't quite sure anymore where we're going, are we?
No, what we can hope for is the best right now. It looks like, even though today was a down day in the market, at least we're getting off to a good start for the year. You know, everybody was just waiting to see what the Fed did. That met expectations, so there was no surprise in that regard. However, the jobs numbers on Friday were stronger than anticipated, which has everyone scratching their head. Has the Fed done enough, or will they have to do more to address inflation if there's so much money circulating in the system? And only time will tell.
I was just going to say time will tell. I wonder if we keep on getting these numbers that, you know, pretend to strong job markets and the inflation keeps going down enough. Is there some point where we say, by golly, they did it? I mean, like, I don't think we're not there yet, but at some point there will be. If the labor market stays strong and inflation goes down, these are both good things.
Well, I think the Fed has been very clear that it has a long-term inflation target of around 2%. I think once we get into that range, then people would say with more confidence, yes, we did it, or maybe we didn't.
Mm-hmm. There's no time to take victory laps, but as you were saying, the markets are up so far this year. I imagine that eases some tensions of your clients. Are they, I imagine, like the Fed, you guys like to remind your clients of the long-term goals.
Yeah, I've gotten several notes from clients saying, you know, thank you for helping me navigate through last year. And, you know, there was uncertainty. I didn't have a crystal ball. My partners didn't have a crystal ball. I don't think anybody in the industry did. But there are just some things that we could tell people from a discipline standpoint, not that we could predict the future or the past is a guarantee of the future, but usually staying the course pays off. I know you've had Leo Harmon in here.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have talked in the past about trying to time the market, and oftentimes when you do that, you're unsuccessful. So just staying the course with your long-term strategy often proves itself out to be the right thing to do.
Is inflation and jobs the two big numbers you look at as you go forward?
I would say there are a number of numbers you look at, but those are probably the most concerning at this point.
Mm-hmm. And concerning meaning you obviously, you know, if you do start to see less jobs created, that could indicate a cooling down of the economy in general, which can be a good thing, but it's a fine needle to thread, isn't it?
It's a fine needle to thread, right, because you don't want there to be unemployment, severe unemployment to the point that it could slow down the economy. Right now, it looks like we're headed on a good pace.
All right. And we'll keep track of inflation as well and some other numbers. We're going to take a quick break here, but afterwards, we're going to chat about couples talking to each other and planning retirement together. Before we hit that break, though, I want to know, are you often surprised at how little communication happens about retirement planning between couples?
Absolutely. It is not only as a practitioner in the wealth management space, but also as a researcher in the academic space on this topic. I'm very surprised by some of the data that we come up with, and just shows that no two households are the same.
That is true, for sure. More with Greg Lunsford on this Mesero Monday, but first let's get a look at weather traffic. All right, Greg Lunsford, let's have a happy Valentine's Day, right, and break out the money ledger. Is that what we should be doing?
Yeah, let's do that. So
maybe the day after Valentine's.
But, you know, Valentine's Day is approaching. And so one of the things that's often interesting to talk about, we talk about money and we kind of sometimes make it feel like it's an independent decision.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of research out there on how couples interact as it relates to money.
And what are some of the numbers?
So first of all, financial stress is the number one cause of divorce.
Right.
Right. So the reason it's important to have this conversation is if we can eliminate those things that cause strain on a relationship, then we have longer, healthier relationships.
So amen to that.
As we approach Valentine's Day, maybe this is one of something you may want to do informally. And there are a number of reasons why couples have they struggle with this. But just to throw out some numbers, approximately 40% of couples who live together don't know how much the other earns.
Doesn't know how much they earn?
They don't share the information. So I'll give you an example. Once upon a time, and I was on the board for an organization, and we were talking about going to direct deposit. And a number of the employees said, I don't want direct deposit. And we said, why? It's an easy way for you to deposit your check, not have to be bothered with paper. And they said, because then my spouse will know how much I earn.
Whoa.
So there are a lot of couples that just don't talk about money. They split every of the bills down the middle. As long as both parties can meet their financial obligations, it works for them. But what we have to take into consideration is just because you can meet the obligations today doesn't mean that you can cover the obligation in the future. And therefore, if you do nothing else, you should have a healthy conversation about retirement planning.
So why are these conversations avoided then? Is it fear? Is it traditional, my dad never told my mom how much they made? Like, what is it?
I think there's a change in dynamics in relationships. So one is there's fear that there won't be enough. So the conversation is harder. When you start looking at that, a number of social safety nets have gone away, as well as a number of private safety nets have gone away in terms of pensions and things like that. And we're living longer. So now the ownership of taking on this retirement liability now falls squarely on you as an individual, or the both of you as a couple. Or if it's just you, the individual, you know in your head what's going on.
Right.
As a couple, it's harder to talk about.
That makes sense, too, the thing about pensions. When more and more people are just on this pension, one person worked for a company their whole life, they were set for life. You didn't have to necessarily have that hard conversation.
Right.
Now that the onus is on us to kind of piece this together, we need to have it.
We need to have it, and it's a tough conversation when you think about a couple things. Well, when we go back to the 60s, most people got married in their early 20s. Now, most people get married in their late 20s after they've established themselves professionally. So now I have started to earn my own money. I have my own freedom. And the questions you're asking me, maybe you don't have the right to ask me those questions because you didn't help me get to where I am.
Interesting.
Then we start looking at second marriages. So age 55 to 64 is the largest category for second marriages. Well, most people are established then, have their own money. And so even if they're free and comfortable having a conversation about what they have, it could lead to an uncomfortable conversation about how you allocate those resources if you have an obligation to a family member that is not part of your union.
I see what you're saying.
Or if you care about causes that you had prior to going into the union. It could be a source of difficult conversation. So the conversation gets avoided, and what happens is we end up in this place where now we're trying to deal with retirement, or it could be things other than retirement, educating a child, and we're unprepared simply because we just don't want to have this conversation.
Right, but when you waste years, you're wasting compounding interest. Like,
absolutely.
Dollars are going away that could have been put in the correct places, so time really is of the essence.
Absolutely. So I'll share a few other numbers with you.
Yeah.
Approximately 43% of couples don't consult their partner before making an investment decision or a trade.
Okay.
20% of individuals haven't told their parent, their partner, how much they save for retirement. So we
no
don't
idea
know
what's in the amount, what's in the account is.
We don't know what's in the account. I'm thinking you have a pension,
right,
but maybe it's not the defined benefit plan you once had. Maybe it's a defined contribution plan, and your number is going to be much lower than I think it might turn out to be.
Right.
And we get shocked in the end. But here's the other one. Over 50% of people, approximately 50% of people, keep a financial secret from their partner.
I mean, how big is a secret are we talking?
And that's what I'm saying. Well, let's not get overly excited about this. It doesn't mean that somebody has hidden accounts that they're shifting your money to.
Right.
It may be just I bought a pair of shoes because they were on sale, and I'm keeping that to myself because I don't want to have the conversation with you.
My driver wasn't really broken, but I did buy a new driver.
Exactly, okay.
Right.
Hopefully
they're not listening. That's right. Now, yeah.
but because these conversations can be uncomfortable, because that driver may have met, could have paid for something else that they thought was more important. You know, this behavior exists.
Right. Can a financial planner, can someone from Mesirow be that conduit to bring people together to have that conversation?
Sometimes you have to be. I've worked with couples that the only time we can have the conversation if the three of us are together.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fight is so bad independently. And sometimes you have to have one-on-ones with one partner, then the other, and then come together collectively.
You're kind of a therapist in that way.
And so, you know, a number of relationship lack what some people call financial intimacy.
Okay.
Meaning we can get to know each other on a number of levels, but this one is just something, it's just hard to talk about.
Yeah. And it must be so individual, right? Like, we just do not have that problem. And I'm very lucky, at least I think, unless there's hidden secrets I don't know about, mm-hmm. that it's a daily conversation, right? I talked to you about buying treasury bills. Well, that's always like okayed by, like, both keys got to turn it on the submarine to launch it.
Right.
That's kind of how we treat it. Not to say that we're doing it better than other people, but that's just how we've always been. You get two different people together. They have different backgrounds. And money means different things to different people depending on how you were raised and how you grew up.
And that's exactly right. So I think one of the first places you start when having this conversation is getting to understand what each other's money values are.
Right.
Okay. And so sometimes people are hesitant to have this conversation because of their fears or likes or dislikes when it comes to money. So mm-hmm. there's research that supports that our money values are developed between ages as early as ages 3 to 7. They come from behaviors we witness. So if we are in a household where people are fighting about money or there's scarcity about money, we may have this negative feeling about money and therefore we don't have this conversation.
Right. Or I'm afraid to invest it. I want it under the mattress.
That's exactly right.
Right. And those are legitimate things. So if you can kind of get past those, or at least have honest, intimate conversations in that way, that's certainly how you can break through the logjam.
Or you may come from an environment where there's significant excess and you may not want people to know you have money. So it makes you uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
because you may feel as though that people only want to be around you because of your money. And so therefore, they don't get to know who you really are. And so sometimes you got to break past these barriers so you can have these healthy conversations to develop this playbook that will get you the maximum yield as possible.
Or if you grew up with maybe having an abundance, you don't get the worry about it, right? And that mm-hmm. other person maybe didn't grow up with that,
That's
so you
exactly
don't understand
right.
where the tension is, and it requires that. I imagine a big part of this also is having a conversation is what is our retirement going to look like, right? I mean, how do you plan for how much you want to have each month when you haven't decided what you want to do each month? And I'm not saying you'll know everything, but are we going to travel once a year? Are we going to do a big vacation? Those are probably conversations that need to happen too, right?
Those are conversations that have to happen. And even outside of retirement is how do you want to educate children? What causes do you care about? You know, and to some of the things you're talking about. What do we do when the music stops playing in terms of income generation?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get it through other sources than working every day?
Right. I hope this isn't everyone's conversation at the Valentine's Day date, maybe afterwards or the next day. This is a good February 15th discussion.
It's a good February 15th discussion, and we can talk about some ways that you can get into this conversation.
You got one or two quick ones here for us?
Well, you know, I think you hinted towards this a little bit, but some couples are starting to have financial date nights.
Okay.
Right, where we just say casually and calmly, we're just going to talk about a couple things. We're not going to, you know, we're just going to recognize that, you know, we haven't talked about simple things. And on those date nights, it doesn't mean you point the fingers at each other, but it's just to have an understanding. I don't understand your benefits at work. Do you understand your benefits at work? No. Let's sit down and go through all the literature together. Oh, I didn't realize that you got certain things like restricted stock units.
Right. What does that mean?
What does that mean? And how can we plan with that? I didn't realize that you had certain health insurance. Maybe we should be using your plan instead of mine. So it could be those things, but it's not to be an attack on each other, but it's just more of a gaining an understanding of what resources are available to you, so you pick the best ones.
I love that as a starting point. Another one is to call the folks at Mesirow. We're out of time, Greg, so I want to make sure 1-877-MESIROW, MESIROW, Mesirow.com. I love this. It's an uncomfortable conversation, but it's one that people need to have. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Give them a call. Visit their website. We love our Mesero Mondays, and we'll have three podcasts over the next 3 Mondays dealing with IRAs. There's a lot there. We'll take a break, then we got the news coming up on Your Money Matters.